Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel just read. Doctors who fight infections are all too aware of the existence of strains that refuse to be fought with one weapon alone, or with the same weapon for years and years. You start to encounter antibiotic-resistant strains. So sometimes someone will become sick and need multiple courses of antibiotics. You might have even experienced that yourself. So they have to come up with new and stronger lines of defense against these superbugs. But that's never the case with the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God that his word always accomplishes what he sends it for. God's word is never ineffective against the devil or his temptations, as we see in the temptation of our Lord. No matter how cunning the devil gets, the thing that always fails him is one little word, the word of God. And we see that in the flesh, in Jesus Christ, going toe-to-toe with the devil and overcoming in the fight. Now, context is important for the temptation, because Jesus' temptation always happens in the Gospels right after his baptism, where the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is driven into the wilderness by the Spirit and tempted by the devil. And Satan doesn't come to congratulate him, and especially he doesn't come to worship Jesus. But he tries to make Jesus fail in the mission that he's come to do. He wants Jesus to fall just like our first parents did when Adam and Eve succumbed to the devil's twisting of the word of God and got their hearts to turn away from God. The devil would love that to happen because sin came into the world through one man, we heard in Romans, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. But instead of appealing to Jesus' reason the way he appealed to Adam and Eve, he appeals to Jesus' divinity. "Command these stones to become loaves of bread. Throw yourself down from the temple, because God said he would bear you up and not let you strike your foot against the stone. And look, Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, all the kingdoms of the earth will have their glory belonging to you. You'll have the world. And besides, Jesus," the devil thinks, "if you go forth with this whole cross thing, you know the people aren't going to appreciate it. You know what they did in Israel when they started grumbling against you the day after they were delivered through the Red Sea. They won't really appreciate it that much if you go to the cross." But Jesus will not have it that way. "If many died through one man's trespass," that's Adam, "much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." The devil was not successful in making Jesus fall. And thanks be to God for that, because if Jesus had fallen, he was our only hope. The devil tempted Jesus because he was the Son of God. And you notice that in the first two temptations where he says, "If you are the Son of God." Duh, he is the Son of God. But that's because the devil cannot stand to have a child of God live before God and not be condemned like the devil is. It says in Revelation 14, "Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." Just as the devil came and tempted Jesus because he was the Son of God, he also tempts every one of you because you are called children of God. And his attack is on you, and his attack is specifically on trying to swerve you in your heart from believing in Jesus Christ as the only Savior. The devil is truly a powerful enemy. And we sang that in the hymn when we said, "On earth there is not his equal." And it may be, even as children of God, that the devil gets one over on us. Even when we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the devil can still fool us. We might not be able to identify it so overtly as we see it in the gospel. But even so, we can see the effects of the devil's temptation. Just like many diseases can only be diagnosed by their symptoms, temptation from Satan can be diagnosed by the sin that comes as a result. The tempter is always out to draw the children of God away from the Word of God. Because you heard Jesus' first response, that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. But you might hear that someone says they've had a falling out with people at church, and that's the reason that they can't go to church anymore. They have to go to another church. But when the end result is that they no longer hear the Word of God in its truth and purity, or maybe not even hear the Word of God at all, then you know who's behind the scenes pulling the strings, and you know who's causing those hurt feelings to fester. Another way the devil tries to get to parents in particular is when your children's future seems like such a noble goal that being at a tournament so that you can be picked up by a scout is more important than being at the divine service where Jesus is. Remember that the devil promised Jesus the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, not that he could deliver on it. And one of the devil's favorite tricks for all Christians is to convince you that you are so strong in your faith that you don't need any kind of Bible study or devotion, that you can get by because you got confirmed after all. So you don't need to pick up a Bible again. You know everything, right? That's exactly what the devil would love to have you believe, because then he can convince you of anything. You saw it happen in Genesis 3, when Eve had just heard the Word of God through her husband Adam, and she's already adding, "Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." God didn't say that. But Eve thought, "I've been through confirmation." The devil loves to twist the Word of God. And his tactics have not changed since the days of Adam and Eve. To the tempting of Christ, to this very day, the devil always uses the same tactics. He's still the same evil angel, and his aim is always the destruction of those who cling to God by faith. But just as he is the same enemy, and he hasn't changed, God's word is the same. And God's word has that same effect on him, of causing him to flee. St. John tells us the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil and destroy that unbelief. The work of the devil is seen in doubt and unbelief, in causing Christians to turn away from the Word and go off into myths of not clinging to what God has given and not having the forgiveness of their sins. But that's exactly what Jesus came to destroy. He destroyed the power of sin over you. He destroyed the power of death by breaking it with his resurrection. And he gives that to you through his word and through the sacraments. The devil doesn't like that, though. And don't think, though, that you'll be inoculated by a single dose of God's word, or a dose every now and then. But in each temptation, the Lord will show you that he's the one who has the power over the devil. He's the one who goes to the fight for you. And he's the one who overcomes even while you sit in weakness and fall into temptation. Look at how the Lord responded to Adam and Eve. He didn't slap them on the back and say, well, you'll do better next time. He promised a Savior. He said that he would send the seed of the woman to crush the serpent's head. And that's exactly what he did. And that's what he's done for you. That Jesus Christ continues to be the one who is your victor over the devil. And he continues to give you his word. And even better than that, he's given you the gift of his Holy Spirit, who keeps that word in your hearts and in your minds. That word within you is stronger than the devil who's all around you and your sin that's even in your heart. The Lord says in Romans 10, the word is near you, in your heart, in your mouth, and in your heart. Arm yourself with that word, because that's the weapon that can send the devil running. We can't praise the Lord enough for how accessible God's word is now. Nearly all of us are literate, and we have Bibles in abundance. We have the word of God right there. Study it. Meditate on it. Learn it by heart. Study your catechism. It's not just for kids. It's the very basics, but the very basics are powerful enough to send the devil running away. That's what Jesus did in the wilderness. He went back to his catechism, so to speak. Deuteronomy 8. You will be blessed, not because you will have the strength in yourself to go toe-to-toe with the devil, but because you will have that victory that God gives you through his word. And in that victory, the devil will flee because he knows that his time is short and he is doomed forever, but you are blessed forever. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.